If you're thinking, God, these guys hardly ever make episodes anymore, you'd be mistaken. At patreon.com/youhatemovies, there are still multiple episodes of You Hate Movies delivered monthly, arguing about the latest movies, ranking directors and franchises, interacting with fan mail, and getting bent out of shape about the latest in movie news. For the price of a monthly cup of coffee, you can listen in and join the arguing. patreon.com/youhatemovies.
Okay, you guys.
Welcome to You Hate Movies, the podcast in which casual moviegoers, film lovers, and cinephiles argue about movies. Glamorous! Who are you wearing? It's award season at You Hate Movies, and we have thoughts about the Oscars. It's the most glamorous episode of You Hate Movies.
I came dressed for the affair in all black.
The Academy Awards.
Black tie.
Black hoodie.
You know, the Academy, which is a collection of actors and filmmakers of various disciplines, they get together and they vote for their peers.
How do you get into the Academy? You have to be nominated and then you're in.
Then you're in. Mm-hmm. But this doesn't work the same way for all the categories, but actors only nominate actors. Directors only nominate directors.
Screenwriters
only nominate the screenwriters.
Same. Editors.
And another little known thing, we talked about this the last time we did an Oscars episode, but it doesn't work like a traditional ballot system. You essentially write in your picks for best picture in order from what you would choose first to what you would choose last.
So everyone's doing their top 10.
Yeah, yeah. And then they average out, you know, how high movie X was on everybody's ballot.
So take You Hate Movies best of 2023, and now you're generating the nominations.
Yeah, so John Wick is going to win everything. Even though John Wick was not anyone's number one, it would win You Hate Movies best picture because it was on the most list.
And if you listen to our best of 2023, then you would know that Iron Claw would have definitely gotten a nomination.
Yeah, so that's how we know these award shows are just garbage, because Iron Claw or John Wick were not.
They were neither of them were nominated. Yeah.
Yeah. What the heck?
Which is funny because Sarah and I, as we were watching the Oscars, she kept saying that, and Iron Claw didn't get nominated. What the heck is going on here? Yeah.
That did seem like it's something the Academy would have liked very much. I wonder why it was snubbed the way it was.
And Saltburn.
Yeah,
Saltburn. No, get out of here with that.
Saltburn does seem like it would be.
Saltburn was divisive in this room, but it seems like they'd at least give that guy a.
That's more of an MTV movie award thing, you know, best penis dancing.
Yeah. Yeah, wow. A Moon Man. No, Moon Man is a
VMA.
VMA. There's like a popcorn bucket for the video music, the movie awards. So what we like to do is, now that the Oscars have come and gone, the winners have all been awarded, they have their after parties, You Hate Movie sits down, goes through the nominees and the winners, and we pass judgment on them. We say what won correctly, what won incorrectly, and what's missing from these categories. You guys ready for this?
Yeah, I've got a lot of thoughts.
Well, we already said the two main things that are missing.
Well, yeah, there's a lot of Iron
Claw.
So I just think that's an there's another important thing that I think people need to understand about the Academy. One, yes, that's how it works, is it's a ranking voting system, which means that in theory, something could win Best Picture that no single person voted to win.
Right. Is if that everybody how had it at number two, hold it could on. Still be the best.
Is that how the nominations are tallied, but then they actually vote
those are, that's
for their
how the,
pick?
That's how the voting is tallied.
I don't know. I'm unsure.
I'm telling you.
I would like to.
That's how it works.
Fact check this.
I think it's all set up, man.
Now this other
that
thing,
makes sense for nominations. It doesn't make sense for
that
picking
is
a
how
winner.
Voting works.
I don't know.
You can fact check.
She's not sure, man.
Go ahead, fact check it. The other thing, and this sounds like it's a conspiracy theory, but really it should make sense to everyone. The Academy has members of the Academy have famously said after the fact. Of, you know, when the award season has come and gone and the dust settles, that they don't always vote for things based on the best picture because they actually thought it was the best picture. The easy example I can think of is one year Guillermo del Toro won best director for The Shape of Water. And he was up against very, you know, traditional best director nominations. And this is the movie about the deaf woman who falls in love with a river monster.
Yeah, mm-hmm. That's yeah. it.
Very Del Toro. And some people were like, man, that's wild. He won. He's an excellent director. It didn't seem like he did the best directing this
year. That was Best Picture, too.
It was Best Picture as well. Well, there was like an interview, a famous interview with a bunch of anonymous members of the Academy where they said, well, the general sentiment was it was his turn. He yes. did make a good movie. He's made lots of good movies. He's made a lot of money for Hollywood. And we just want to give him his turn. It's his turn to have his yeah. flowers.
Well, that river monster also really liked going to the movies in the movie.
Yeah.
That's true. Yeah. Hollywood mm-hmm. loves Hollywood stuff. Really and do. That was really like vintage classic, like La La Land. They mm-hmm. have the man, they're smell made their up own with farts. That. They love to smell their own farts on that mm-hmm. stuff. They also apparently encourage the Academy of Motion Pictures Arts and Sciences. Is that what it's called?
Yes.
They encourage voters to vote in such a way as to, quote, make history, you know. So there was, for instance, this year, apparently subtle pressure to vote for, what's her face? Lily Gladstone. Because
first indigenous nominee.
Yeah, that would make history. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? It couldn't have possibly been based on the performance because she didn't do one in the right. movie.
She kind of blinked slowly.
Yeah. She was more like a prop.
She acted like she was sick.
Yeah, she did act sick. So anyway, all that to say, we're still going to pass judgment and say the truth. This is the People's Academy Awards.
That's right.
You ready for this?
This is the true
Academy
Awards.
I'm starting
Academy
where
Awards.
They start because when you turn that thing on, they're like, and now the best original screenplay. I was like, oh my God, really?
Is that where it started?
Sat down. Yeah.
No.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking at the list again because I remember thinking.
From
like,
the airing order.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's not the nomination order. I felt like the awards that they...
Supporting Actress was the first award.
Oh, that was the one that
it's
jarred
usually
me.
It's usually a supporting actor or actress that they open with.
All right, well,
but
I
felt like the order was odd this year.
Well, I'm starting from the bottom of the list, and I'm working my way up to the top on the official
but
website.
Skip the shorts and editing and the costumes.
Yeah, I'm doing the real stuff.
Okay.
Original screenplay. Original screenplay.
Yeah. I take the original and adapted screenplay categories pretty seriously.
Of course. Mm-hmm.
Other than like, you know, best picture, actor, whatever. I feel like these two are real deal. Not to be slept on, you know. We gotta wake up. Wake up. Pay attention to the screenwriter.
Put your feet on the ground.
Touch the grass.
Touch the grass. Smell some farts.
No. Touching grass means you stop smelling the farts.
Right. Yeah, that's reality. That's reality.
Yeah, there you go.
The nominees were Past Lives by Celine Song, May December, Maestro, which Bradley Cooper did write with Josh Singer, The Holdovers, and Anatomy of a Fall.
Mm-hmm.
The winner at the official Academy Awards was Anatomy
of
a Fall.
I could not freaking believe that.
I've seen all these movies.
Yep.
Anatomy
of Fall. I was shocked to see Anatomy of Fall even included in anything at the Oscars.
I don't know what the hype is.
Why? Because you didn't like it?
It was like a Lifetime movie.
Yeah.
It was not good.
Come on. Say
it
what
was
your
good.
Give it your review. If ever there was a movie more deserving.
It was fine.
It was fine.
No, it was below average.
It was fine.
No,
I
thought it was borderline not good.
I'm going to watch it Friday when it comes to streaming.
I didn't think Anatomy of a Fall deserved to be included in the
There's a dog in it, right? The dog?
There's a dog, yeah.
The dog, yeah. I saw the famous dog scene that you were impressed with. And the dog was at the award ceremony.
He was.
Or
a
but
dog
apparently,
that looked like it.
We watched every year we watch with a friend, a close friend, and we all commit to seeing all of the best pictures. Otherwise, you're not allowed to be a part of the party. She happens to be a veterinarian. And saw Anatomy of a Fall and had some pretty disappointing things to say about how the way they treated that dog on set.
She was there on set?
Well, she in her veterinarian channels got access to information that that meant like they drugged the dog and then they the saline water or something. They didn't treat the dog well.
Mm. Well, that's hearsay.
It's disappointing.
Was the dog
not there?
Listen, she's a vet.
The dog,
a professional, she's got letters after her name, so I'm going to take her word for it.
The movie is fine as an expendable streaming, put it on, you could see worse. I thought it was fine.
No, I think you couldn't
The most
see
confusing
worse.
Thing
no,
is
No,
like,
Oh my gosh. Did you see Past Lives?
I did see Past Lives. I thought Past Lives was better than Anatomy of
Fall. Oh my gosh. You're out of
here. Are they both? They're both in here. I thought the writing for Past Lives was significantly better than Anatomy of Fall.
There's no way.
Stop it. I'm not voting.
If it were me, I think I would have picked Maestro.
Maestro?
Maestro's boring.
Maestro was so bloated and all. I think The Holdovers is the obvious winner.
Okay.
Out of these five.
Literally, talk about a Lifetime movie. That could have been a Lifetime movie.
That's a Hallmark movie.
With
incredible performances.
Anatomy of a Fall is Lifetime because they're dealing with true crime. The Holdovers is more of a Christmassy Hallmark movie.
You're right. I didn't know there was a difference, but there's a difference.
There's a difference. It's in mood and tone and content.
None of these, to me, with the exception of The Holdovers, was even that good.
No. I thought there was really great human moments that were very sincere in The Holdover. That were really beautiful, especially like for a Christmas. I think it's a Christmas movie. I think we can just make that call now.
Yeah, it's a Christmas movie.
But as a whole, I thought The Holdovers was fine.
All right. Yeah. Well, so a little agreement there. Burrs, what would you would have picked Maestro. So.
That's, to me, the better movie on that list.
It's not about, but think of the screenplay.
Yes.
What it looked like on paper.
Yeah, absolutely.
No. Stop. Mm-mm. Adapted screenplay.
These were better movies.
The Zone of Interest was adapted from very loosely, apparently, from a novel. Poor Things, also adapted from a novel. Oppenheimer from a biography. Barbie from a toy. Why this is included as an adapted screenplay? It's like it's not adapted.
Because there was intellectual property that preexisted.
So stupid. And American Fiction, which is also a novel. American Fiction 1.
This, I honestly think that American Fiction and Oppenheimer were the standouts in this, and I was okay that American Fiction won.
No, I think that the...
How can you say unless you read everything? So I don't know.
Yeah, I agree.
You mean
that it's,
unless you read the source material?
Yeah.
Unless you read that the box with the doll said Barbie on it?
Yeah.
I have read that source material. That's the one I've read the source material for. I think going off of what we know about the screenplay itself, that's like saying that unless you've read the screenplay, we've seen the screenplay in action. I think Poor Things is the most interesting screenplay.
It is a very interesting story.
Mm-hmm.
American Fiction, I enjoy it as a movie, but I think that it actually has writing problems.
It felt
smushing in the family drama with the satire didn't work.
Yeah, and then the meta conclusion felt a little off.
Yeah, I actually liked the meta more than the family drama.
But when they, when they drive away at the end and there's a glimpse into the inside of Hollywood, I thought, is this going to win Best Picture? Because it was so directly,
small enough art, man.
So directly related to Hollywood. I think that Oppenheimer was really, really well written, you all hate it and you hate movies.
I love the movie, but that was the worst part of it, is how it kept going and going and going. The screenplay is what hurt the movie.
No, the screenplay is great.
I agree. The direction, the cinematography, the acting, those are all the strong parts of the movie. The screenplay is the weak part.
Just because you couldn't keep up and appreciate it doesn't mean it's bad writing.
You're bad
moviegoers.
No, I'm a good movie.
But American Fiction was a very interesting, cutting commentary on American consumerism and expectation, of certain people groups that I thought worked really well and was funny and interesting.
It was a good movie.
So I'm in support of it winning.
No.
It was fine. Poor Things. I felt like it kind of pulled its punches sometimes too, though, because it would do surreal parts where it would show them him seeing the things act out. You're like, do more of that funny stuff. And
that was good. They should have done more of that.
Yeah. Then it would go hilarious. Back into the family drama or whatever.
It was also kind of strange though, because it's like he had this fantasy and he starts writing. What was it called at first? It was
he spelled it wrong too. An F instead of a PH.
what was it?
Something.
But anyway, and then the next day he had the finished novel. I was like, man, I don't know anyone who writes that fast.
He was great in it. That guy was great in it.
Yeah.
He was.
Get to that, right?
He was, yeah. Okay. But here we go. The best visual effects. This is actually interesting because Napoleon was nominated. Mission Impossible.
Did anyone see Napoleon?
No.
Mm-hmm.
Did you?
No. If we know we're on our main channel here, but any of you Patreon listeners that are listening to this behind the paywall, let us know if you actually saw Napoleon, because I have not met a single person that have seen it.
It did not look good, was the thing about it.
And it was super long, right?
These days, I see Ridley Scott's name, and I go, oh.
Yeah, but Ridley wasn't anywhere near the ceremony. Joaquin Phoenix wasn't anywhere near the ceremony. And those dudes worked hard.
They knew there was no
movie.
Point.
Because they were embarrassed.
They kept showing it, and this is still a movie. You're like, there's no way it's winning anything. And I haven't even seen it. But it was nominated. Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning was nominated for visual effects. Tyler.
Heck yeah. No. That train scene?
No, terrible. Really bad.
Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, Godzilla Minus One, and The Creator were all nominated for Best Visual Effects. Godzilla Minus One won the award, and then we all had to sit through Takashi Yamazaki's painful speech as he desperately tried to read English from a sheet of paper.
And all those nerds coming up with their Godzilla toys in their hands.
Yeah, with bow ties.
They're not just nerds. They were the visual effects team. Yeah.
They didn't have to be that nerdy.
they were just so happy to be there.
It was so sweet.
That was a wholesome moment.
It was very wholesome. It was very sweet. It was very poorly done because that man needed an interpreter.
Yeah, I don't know why they wouldn't just have a translator up there.
That's what I meant, translator.
Or it was just so ambitious, the speech he thought he was going to give. I was like, Takashi.
I don't think I heard a word.
they were playing the music on him and everything. I think this was actually an interesting race, an Oscar race, because Guardians in particular and The Creator were both had very assured $200 million visual effects budgets movie budgets overall, and they look great. The Creator in particular, honestly, is some of the best visual effects I've ever seen in a movie.
Right, so that's what's so interesting. Godzilla's budget, what you're talking about.
$15 million.
Micro budget comparatively. And The Creator was making new ways to film movies to make it his budget even smaller too. Not $15 million or whatever, but that thing looked incredible. The Creator, did you ever see it?
No, I haven't.
Story
Remember,
about the airplane.
I know.
Yeah,
I didn't
on the Patreon episode, I was
house.
Saying I started an airplane and it looked too good to watch on an airplane,
yeah, I
didn't
know
so
if
I
you
stopped.
Finished it. You're right. You should do it.
I need to watch it on a proper television.
It was incredible, but
in 4K, ideally.
Godzilla and his posture.
That's what makes this one so interesting. Is that the visual effects in Minus One are in many instances up to the same standard as a movie like Guardians. But then there's other moments where you're like, oh, that's not the most perfect CG I've ever seen in my entire life.
No.
But the idea that this guy made visual effects comparable to Marvel's budget on $15 million, you're like, yeah, give that guy the award.
That's
yeah, but even still, that with that in there, like you could see the flaws in Minus One. Like you don't see the flaws in the other ones, you know? But when it was doing its thing at like 100%, you were just so blown away by what you were seeing that you didn't care about the flaws anymore, because it was incredible what they did with that.
I also have a feeling that...
How do you do something at 100% and there's still flaws?
No, the scenes that were
100%. Moments have 100%.
The moments
were 100%. The 100% scenes caused you to forgive the 90% scenes?
Yeah.
Okay.
We can skip over... this, because we'll talk about it. Nobody cares about shorts and short films.
But special shout out to Wes Anderson for winning his first Academy Award.
I know. That was kind of lame that he wasn't there.
For a short, on Netflix, and he wasn't there to accept it.
This is kind of an interesting category. The production design, the nominees were Poor Things, Oppenheimer, Napoleon, Killers of the Flower Moon, and Barbie. And these movies have a lot of production design. I mean,
there's a clear winner in there.
Poor Things.
Yeah.
It won.
It did win. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Barbie deserves a little, attention, but Poor Things was far and away the superior production design.
Yeah.
The thing about
because the director, Yorgos, was like, just get weird with it, man. And they're like, yeah, okay.
You're not trying to recreate something that happened. You're just making something up from the ground.
Just get crazy. Mm-hmm.
That's what sets it apart. Period pieces, I say this every time Abby and I watch a period piece with lots of set pieces in it. You're like, I just feel so exhausted. Who had to find all these cars? Who had to find all these decorations and furnishings? But that's something that we've seen a million times. It must be very difficult to do, but they do it all the time.
Yeah.
To invent a world like the production designer in Poor Things, or even Barbie, which is based on toys, that's the kind of thing that to me looked like they must have had a lot of fun.
You know, they worked hard on Barbie. Yeah. You know,
how much of it do they keep in the toy world, and how much, like, you know, she walks across the pool, for example, because the real Barbie house doesn't have a little pit with water in it. That seems like a funny idea that someone had. It was like, right. Oh, we should do it like this, and we should keep a static wave that they just run into at the beach. His job is beach.
Right, and to get from the second floor to the first floor, they just float down on the outside of the house like a kid holding them.
Because that's how you play Barbies.
Yeah.
I'm assuming that the same was true every time that there was like a car wreck or something. It would kind of like fly into the air and flip over and then land back because it's like a child moving it from one place to another.
Very clever, yeah. I don't think I think that Barbie didn't deserve to be in certain categories, but they definitely deserve to be in production design. Mm-hmm. It's just too bad they didn't beat Poor Things because it's not even close.
Yeah, well, the difference is that even though it's very clever and very well executed, it's still based on something that we've seen. The Poor Things production design seems as if it was just kind of pulled directly from the imagination, which is always more interesting. And so they did it. They won.
Yeah, it felt almost Tim Burton-y at times. Maybe a little too much. Familiar, at least. If not Tim Burton, then other things that we have seen. It felt more like 90s kind of creepy. But it worked. I thought that the production was solid in Poor Things.
Yeah, I didn't think about that before, but I think you're right. It feels like late career, pre-decline Tim Burton, like Big Fish.
When he got out of the pinstripe.
Yeah, when he stopped being
black and white.
Goth German impressionist for a minute and got kind of surreal. Yeah. I thought that the original song thing was funny because you had two Barbie songs, the What Was I Made For and I'm Just Ken.
Mm-hmm.
And then there was a Native American song whose name I won't bother trying to pronounce from Killers of the Flower Moon that they performed at the Oscars. Mm-hmm.
It was a drum circle
yeah. And it was kind of a funny Hollywood moment to behold. Because
how
like
do you
all
critique
these,
that?
Yeah, there's all these like stiff Hollywood suits watching this drum circle, which is
They're following Billie
not
Eilish.
Not remotely a traditional.
Right.
Yeah.
And of course, they're all supposed to be like.
And they're singing in their native tongue. And you're like, I don't. How do you? How do you,
what are you supposed to say?
How
this
do you watch
sucks.
That?
How do you engage?
And thoughtfully critique it in any sort of way. No one's
just
qualified
nodding.
To critique that. Yeah.
There was something called It Never Went Away from American Symphony. Don't know what that
no
is.
No one knows what that is.
The Fire Inside from Flamin' Hot.
That was really amusing to me, too.
That's the Cheetos movie?
Yes, the Cheetos movie about Flaming Hot, the Flaming Hot dust that goes on Cheetos.
Yeah. Really?
They showed up and took that song very seriously. And it was about spicy Cheetos.
It's actually about Cheetos?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I thought
it's called The Fire Inside.
Yeah, it's a, what is it? Who's that girl?
And they got some generic hot girl who's
Becky G.
with abs
it's Becky
to
G.
come out and sing about hot, flaming hot Cheetos.
I had no
and
idea.
And it's called The Fire Inside. And we're not supposed to see how seriously they're taking it. And then the fact that it's called The Fire Inside, stop. As if someone hasn't eaten a bunch of Flamin' Hot Cheetos.
And known
and
about
now,
it.
And now their intestines are about to endure the regret of all of that, you know? Like, who wrote that and said yes? And then who at the Oscars said yes? Get them to come perform that.
Yeah, they all watched the Cheeto movie and were like, man, that song.
That song.
It's Eva Longoria. She directed that movie.
Wow.
Excuse me?
Eva Longoria?
She directed it?
Yes.
That's Ryan Gosling's wife.
No, that's Eva Mendes.
Oh, that's Mendes. Longoria, that's still odd.
Yeah. It's
I'm
her
still
first.
In awe that there's a Cheetos movie. I had no idea.
I didn't know it was about Cheetos.
Well, it's just, it was white noise amongst a year of retrospectives about products alongside Air, BlackBerry, the Beanie Bubble. There's one about Tetris. There's just too many. And then
Barbie?
Barbie. Then they threw in one about Flamin' Hot Cheetos, and no one took it seriously.
I've
except
never even
the people
heard
that nominated
it.
Best Song.
That's weird.
It is weird. Thank you, Abby. Well said.
Here's a really weird one to me. This was a year, if you listen to our Best of the Year episode, that Abby will tell you that I commented and complained about scores all year long. I felt like we had a lot of bad scores this year, and mm-hmm. then every now and then there was a noteworthy scores. I like scores a lot. The nominees for original score were Poor Things, Oppenheimer, Killers of the Flower Moon, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, Tyler, which mm-hmm. you've seen, and American Fiction. I thought this was weird for a few reasons. One,
I don't remember who won.
The winner was Oppenheimer, which is the obvious.
Yeah, that is the obvious.
In fact,
choice.
That's the only yeah. one on here that's a good score.
It is a great
you
score.
You liked Poor Things, too.
The Poor Things score was not really noteworthy. No. Like, no, a good score, there's moments in a movie where you're just like, dang, the music's really worked. Like, and that did happen in
yeah.
Oppenheimer.
Yeah,
why
happen.
Wasn't Mutant Mayhem on this?
Mutant Mayhem was the best score of the year. It really was.
That was Reznor, right?
Yeah. Which was, and he also did the score for The Killer, but it was nowhere near as good as the Mutant Mayhem
no,
score.
Mayhem
but they couldn't possibly nominate it because the Oscars are serious.
I guess.
And
but what? They've got Flamin' Hot Cheetos.
Oh, okay. Here, listen.
Yeah, what's up with that?
We can't do Ninja Turtles, we can do Barbie.
And they did nominate Spider-Verse, like... Mutant
Actually,
Mayhem's.
We didn't acknowledge What Was I Made For was the clear standout. It should have won.
Oh, I don't think that song is remarkable at all.
No, but it's better than the others.
Yes, it yes. is.
You're gonna give the award to I'm Just Ken?
I might pick Ken over the other song.
What won?
What
Was I Made For, the Billie Eilish.
It's essentially...
That's two nominations and two wins for Billie Eilish.
The dude plays the piano while she breathes on the microphone.
Yeah. But she sings about the female experience.
Yeah, I like that song.
And the other score that really stood out to me was the score for Society. It was Michael Giacchino's score for Society.
It was very good.
Snow.
Yeah.
And this, not to toot my own horn, but while we're watching, I was like, if this is not Michael Giacchino, someone is ripping him off really bad. He has such a distinctive sound to me. Yeah. And sure enough, when it went off, I was like, oh, there he is, Michael Giacchino. He's like the new John Williams. He does themes that mm-hmm. are really like sit perfectly in their moments. And it was, other than Mutant Mayhem, the one moment that I was like, dang, this score is really
But
really
what
weird.
Score you
Society
hated?
Of the Snow is
American
probably,
Fiction.
American Fiction sucked.
And
it was not
Killers
good.
Of the Flower Moon.
But I feel
Killers
like Society
sucked. Those scores
that was not
were
good
bad.
Either. Except
bad.
For there was like one guitar-y, bluesy song in Killers of the Flower Moon that it was near the opening of the film.
That's
that
the worst.
Good.
That's a Chevy commercial. Come
that
on.
That's a Chevy commercial, yeah. I feel like, all that said, Society of the Snow might have been the most underrated film of the, at least, Oscar season.
Mm-hmm.
Makeup and hairstyling is kind of interesting because people were mad about Maestro, which was nominated. Golda, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, and Society of the Snow, Tyler.
I honestly, by the end of that film, was really concerned. Like, did their skin really get fried
and this
by
is,
the sun
yeah.
and the snow?
This is like the overlap. It's kind of an unfair comparison because... Yeah, sure. Poor Things, which won the Academy Award for Best Makeup
because it's
and
just
Hairstyling.
Wild.
Yeah. It's more like a wardrobe thing going on.
Yeah.
You know, like it's their aesthetic look. But in Society of the Snow, it's more like almost like a visual effect. They were having
yeah.
to use makeup to make these people look like they had frostbite.
And they shot it in sequence. So the dedication to do that well is even more impressive.
Yeah. Mm. Which to me is way more of an accomplishment than like, look, we gave her a funny hairstyle.
And look at her big poofy sleeves.
She didn't even, but this is different. They did win for costume. This is different. This is just makeup and hairstyle.
I know, I'm saying that. I do not think that it makes any sense.
She didn't even have makeup on almost in the whole movie.
Emma Stone?
Why
she just
is
had
Oppen-
long black hair.
Why is Oppenheimer nominated? For what? The dudes all had hats on.
Emily Blunt probably wore makeup.
I guess they had the old makeup.
Oh, yeah, they did.
She got mm-hmm. old. He got
oh,
old.
True.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's what they showed.
That's
yeah.
what they showed.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought Robert Downey had good old makeup.
He did,
it was
too.
Good.
Oh, poor
I
thing.
Society of
it
the
wasn't
Snow
her.
Was,
oh,
was,
it was God, the God character.
Yeah.
That's what
right.
it was.
That's Willem Dafoe.
What? We're crazy.
Yeah,
what
we're idiots.
We
yeah. Sorry, we hate movies.
But Society of the Snow was really impressive what they pulled off.
It was.
It was. I agree. Mm-hmm. I still think it should have won. Granted, the makeup job on Willem Dafoe
was great.
Was very cool and funny. And, you know, Maestro, he did have that nose. And they did get old in Oppenheimer.
But people did not like the nose.
Yeah, and then they all shut up when his family was like, oh, we told him to do that nose. Oh, okay. Well.
Then they watched the movie and they're like, who cares? It's boring.
Yeah, who cares? I'm asleep.
Stop.
International feature film. The Zone of Interest. The Teacher's Lounge.
Yeah.
Society of the Snow, Perfect Days, and...
Io Capitano.
Yeah, is that how you say that?
I don't know. I tried to watch the rest of those, but all I could get was Zone of Interest and Society of the Snow. I couldn't find Io Capitano.
I only also saw Society of the Snow and the Zone of Interest, and this is what we were talking about before we hit record. To me, that Society of the Snow didn't beat the Zone of Interest.
Is disappointing.
Is ridiculous.
Yeah.
I thought the Zone of Interest sucked.
The Zone of Interest is clearly like an art house film with a really, really clever concept that was very, almost painfully slow at times. And it didn't surprise me that it won. And I have appreciation for it in a lot of ways. Very subtle, probably too subtle, too slow. But after watching Society of the Snow, it stayed with me a lot longer than Zone of Interest did. And I think that it deserved it over Zone of Interest.
Society of the Snow is not boring.
No. Mm.
Zone of Interest is almost nothing but boring.
Oh, that's too bad.
Well, I disagree. I liked it a lot.
I don't know that I'm prepared to call Zone of Interest boring.
I feel like this was
painfully boring.
But Zone of Interest got a Best Picture nomination, which I feel like...
Yeah, I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah, so they were gonna they knew that it wasn't going to get that, and they wanted to give it something.
Yeah, but then Parasite got nominated for both and won both.
It won both? Yeah. I know, but I bet...
Making history.
I guess true.
Making history.
I liked Parasite. Remember that?
Oh, man.
Do we remember when you liked Parasite?
You don't? Do you remember that, when I liked it?
Yeah, sounds familiar.
Thanks, man.
Yeah, what a travesty. Society of the Snow just being snubbed.
It was
here.
Disappointing that it got snubbed.
The Zone of Interest to me is kind of like somebody was in a room, presumably the writer-director, who is now in all this trouble because of the night of the Academy Awards. He was like, I got this idea for something I could do in a movie about the family that lives, you know, next to Auschwitz. It's, you know, with audio and blah, blah, blah. And then someone's like, oh, that's cool. Yeah, we could do that in a movie. He's like, okay, so let's start. And they're like, oh, hold on. You need more than that to make a movie. He's like, no, that's all I got.
Well, it's based on a novel, right? So
the novel apparently it bears no resemblance to the movie whatsoever. It's like a love triangle story.
What?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Which is also this guy adapted Beneath the Skin, Underneath the Skin, which I read that novel.
Under the Skin.
Under the Skin.
With Scarlett Johansson.
That novel was great. The movie is nothing remotely like that.
Movie doesn't make any sense, man.
That movie is better than Zone of Interest.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I'm telling you.
It's more interesting.
Thank you.
It's more watchable.
Yeah. And it was
Zone of Interest was really, really slow. But
someone
there is
needs
a gravity
to stand up for Zone of Interest because...
Go ahead. You're on the podcast.
There's weight to it. That
I really liked it. You know me. Okay. I don't like long movies. It wasn't long. Was it?
It felt like it was 4 hours.
I was not bored a single second in this movie. It was captivating.
Hmm. How'd you feel about the end without spoilers? You know,
she has to touch her eye.
I don't remember.
You can't remember.
You don't remember the end.
I don't know how to.
I don't know specifically what you're talking about.
I'm nodding. You know, I'm nodding knowingly.
He's going down the stairwell, and then it cuts forward.
Oh yes, yes, yes. Yeah, I liked it.
She don't remember.
I thought it was haunting.
I will say that. You know, me and Burrs like to argue about movies for fun, but I really did believe that we were going to have the exact same opinion. At one point, I just started counting the lights in the theater.
I was so annoyed. He like was acting like a kid with ADD that like, I don't know, his parents were making sit through church or something. He was like tapping on his knee really loud and like shaking his foot. And I wasn't trying to watch a movie.
I'm sorry. I wasn't trying to do any of that. I didn't even realize I was doing it until she said, I was very, very bored. And then at one point near the end, I was realizing like, this is going to be it. The movie's not going to do anything else. Cause I kept waiting. I was like, maybe something's going to happen. And then we'll all be going, dude, you got to sit through that first hour and a half. And when I realized it wasn't, I couldn't stop laughing. Like when you're trying not to laugh in church, I was just like, I can't believe this is really it. And when it was over, I looked over and I was like, my God. And she was like, I liked it. And I was like, what the heck? I thought we were going to be talking about this for the next week.
Too bad. And then I read more about it and I liked it even more based on like how it was shot and all of that.
Yeah.
Thought it was cool.
I liked it. The subtleties were very good. It was very slow, and I don't think the ending really paid off, but I appreciated how courageous it was anyway.
He went with his idea.
Take that how you want it. It was courageous. I think it was a choice, and I found it interesting. I don't know if it was good, but I found it interesting.
You know what this reminds me of? One year, we had lunch with a friend that it was his birthday. Tyler was there. Me and Tyler were in attendance for this friend's birthday. And someone speaks up and says, we should all say nice things about this.
I remember this.
For his birthday. So people are going around the circle like, oh, I just love this about you. You know, really just blessing this guy and loving him. Just, and then gets to Tyler and he's like, I admire your confidence. And everyone kind of turned around and looked because we were like, that's weird. I don't know if that's the word I would pick. And then he's like, I mean, look at these rings you're wearing.
Rings?
Yeah.
Now I know who you're talking about.
That's what you're doing with someone. I admire your bravery.
Well, yeah. That was a joke. I thought it landed well in the moment.
Oh, we laughed.
That is exactly what I'm doing. Yeah.
Editing is a hard category for me because I feel like, you know, here at You Hate Movies, we're probably the top tier cinephiles.
I mean, out there
in the game,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
I don't honestly, you know, people say this about editing that like you, if it's working good, you shouldn't be noticing it. It's contributing to the overall flow of the movie.
Right.
So I don't.
It's the kind of thing you only notice when it's bad.
Exactly.
Like when a toilet's dirty, you notice, but when it's clean, you have no thoughts.
Yeah, exactly. And the only other time I notice is in wild action movies. Where Maverick, for example, remember those scenes where they're having like jet battles and it was having to cut between so many planes that looked the same with people in getup that looked the same and you could follow the whole thing and be thrilled by it. I know that was really impressive. I was like, man, that editor deserves a medal.
Cause that which is a good example because you watch Top Gun and you're painfully aware of how bad the editing is.
Right. But if you watch something where it's new the first time, like when you watch Children of Men and you see those long segments all cut together, you're like, this editing is crazy.
Yeah, but that's really novel editing. These are the nominations. Poor Things, Oppenheimer, Killers of the Flower Moon, The Holdovers, and Anatomy of a Fall.
Again, what is Anatomy of a Fall doing here?
I never thought about the editing in any of these movies.
I thought about it in Oppenheimer because they would cut back and forth between...
Just because it changed colors?
Well, the
that is editing. You see, that's
well, what yeah, the surrealist together. Stuff. They weaved it in well, and particularly in the ending, like they cut between his monologue with, I mean, to Einstein, and they'd cut back and forth between these other scenes. I thought that Oppenheimer had noticeably good editing.
I'm fine with that. It was good editing.
They should have edited it down a little bit longer, a little bit shorter.
Shorter. Yeah.
I think that I noticed the editing in Barbie. There were several, because it's one of those movies where the comedy hinged on editing a lot of times to jump back and forth for punchlines. There was one joke that might have been the funniest one in the movie to me, which was a throwaway gag where America Ferrera's character is like, they're going to go to the toy world. And she said, the kid is like, what about dad? She's like, ah, he'll be fine. And it showed him like at home, like on a language learning app and he just like says the word and gets it wrong, says it again, gets it right. And then he like just kind of smiles and goes, ah. just cuts back. That was very funny. That was an editing gag or, you know, Ryan Gosling taking in all the visual icons of the patriarchy of the money and all that stuff.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the horses, it just kept showing horses.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but movies like Barbie that have unique editing where there's montages and there's you're throwing back and forth between this space and that space, or Oppenheimer where you're cutting in sequences that are from a different space but support the moment you're in, they feel unique. Like, this is good editing. But then you watch Killers of the Flower Moon and it's just pretty standard. There's nothing unique about the holdovers. The holdovers, same thing. There's nothing really special about the way they edit it as a part of the storytelling. It's just clean, basic, boring narrative, just straightforward narrative. There's no extra out of the box kind of creative element.
Yeah,
to it.
I guess I don't really know what they're looking for.
Was there a movie this year?
Point is that you don't look at Holdovers or Killers of Flower Moon and think, wow, they really held the moment with DiCaprio before they cut over to Lily Gladstone exceptionally well. It's just a straightforward editing. But the others, there's something creative to it. So you don't think about it the same way between these same films.
All right, so you're saying earlier that only editors who have been nominated can vote for the editing category?
I don't know if it works that way in all categories. I know that actors only nominate actors.
Because then it would make sense, because these folks who are in the game would know, like, oh man, this is impressive.
Sure. There, if you're an editor, I'm sure you see editing whether you want to or not. Right.
Well, I also think that Scorsese is going to demand good editing. He's sitting there in the room next to you for a certain amount of time.
Sure.
You can't call Killers of the Flower Moon poorly edited. It's just you don't think about it because it is what it is, and they did it well. It's just,
yeah, most editing is at least competent. I think that the only time that it starts to become, how presumptuous of me, but probably a huge challenge, is in action movies, in really frenetic sequences where the audience needs to be able to track. You got to show a lot of stuff in a short period of time.
The context, even when you're uptight.
Yeah, communicate the urgency and explosions and all that. Mm-hmm. That's probably pretty hard.
Well, the one we go back to most consistently when we're criticizing editing is Bohemian Rhapsody. It's like these men are just sitting around a table and there's like 50 cuts in 90 seconds.
And weird, like in the middle, at the end of the sentence.
Yeah, and then you're painfully aware how bad editing looks.
Yeah.
But in Killers of Flower Moon, my point is like, Leonardo DiCaprio delivered his line and they allowed the moment to land and then they cut to the next line without it being distracting or strange. You know?
Right. Pacing. So
they're setting pacing.
Here's
right
the
way,
comedy.
So.
Why is one part of it?
Why isn't John Wick in this category?
I know.
Imagine what that person had to do.
Remember all the times he fell down those stairs?
With all that all that choreography and all the different ways they must have shot it.
Yeah.
Even if they had the most religiously, painstakingly outlined storyboards, which you must have had to on a movie like that.
Yeah.
Like, this is exactly what we're going to shoot. That person had to put it together and like, oh, well, he doesn't have his gun lined up exactly at the right spot before I cut to this. So it has to, you know what I mean? That must have been a nightmare.
Right. And then that top down scene.
That was good.
Yeah. Listen, this is like real people stuff, not John Wick level stuff.
John Wick is above so many of these movies, effortlessly above.
No.
And it was You Hate Movies' best movie of the year, just
no,
based on the voting system.
No,
or
wasn't.
The killer was.
Yeah.
It was on the most list. All right, we're up to directing. You ready for this? The Zone of Interest, P.U., Poor Things, Oppenheimer, Killers of the Flower Moon, and Anatomy of a Fall, Tyler.
What is Anatomy of a Fall doing here?
Not winning this. The winner was Oppenheimer. Christopher Nolan.
He got his first one.
He got his Oscar for Oppenheimer.
I feel like that's fine. He did a good job. It was a fine movie, and maybe it's his turn.
It's his
time.
It's definitely his turn because he's done better movies. But Poor Things was the
better. Poor Things was a much better directed.
I agree on that. I think it's funny that, of course, it would be this Christopher Nolan film that gets recognized the way it does, but...
Well,
to me, it's one of the weaker entries.
The theory is that these big Hollywood directors who release a box office hit, and I'm assuming they mean Tenet, and then come back and release a serious film, tend to get recognized for their Oscar. It's like that's a Spielberg type scenario.
Since, same kind of thing happened for Spielberg. He felt like he was snubbed over Jaws. And now what do people remember him for? Well, I guess all his movies.
Yeah, most of them.
Except for War Horse.
Oh, boy.
What about BFG?
And BFG and Ready Player One.
Oh, that was bad.
Yeah, I think...
He just announced Ready Player Two.
Yorgos, Poor Things is not my favorite film by Yorgos either, but I
it was... It's no Killing of a Sacred Deer.
It's not. But it was more of a, I thought, directing accomplishment than Oppenheimer.
I don't know. I think they're close.
I do think they're close.
But I'm clearly the Oppenheimer's favorite in the room.
Yeah, I loved Oppenheimer too, but I think that the poor
thing. Well, the thing is, think
just
about it like this. Oppenheimer, even if we agree, I agree that the guy knows how to direct. He clearly has an assured direction. But apparently, he's not even necessarily an actor's director. There's a famous clip going around now. Patrick first told me about it, and I went and looked it up, where Gary Oldman claims that across those three Batman movies, one of the only times he got a note from Nolan was he's doing a scene with Batman, and he calls cut, and Nolan calls Gary Oldman over and says, let's do that again. There's more at stake.
That's it?
And then he goes, well, oh, okay. And he goes back. And
I find that surprising, but also not, because I feel like the actors in his films give pretty consistent performances. They're all good, and they're not like rambunctious or whatever. They're pretty straight and serious and delivered well. Maybe that's just he
picks almost exclusively good actors.
Yeah, maybe it's the casting.
Reliably good.
Well, a good director would set an environment for an actor to
do their thing well.
To do their thing well. He's a storyteller.
Maybe that's what it is. You know? So I find it a bit surprising considering the level of acting, but maybe that's a casting credit. I find it unsurprising considering Marion Cotillard's performance in Batman. Remember when she died? And how horrible the acting was in that?
Man, it's hard to die.
In the third one?
Yeah.
She dies in like a car or something?
Yeah, she's in a truck and it just kind of slumps over. It's terrible. And he didn't give her
how
any
mad
notes.
You were about that.
He didn't give any notes
he
on that?
He should have told her what was at stake.
He said, yes, excellent. Let's go for tea. Time for tea.
Didn't Robert Downey in his speech mention his notes? Didn't he say like, oh, Chris would tell me do less or something?
Well, I don't remember if he, not at this one. He just said I needed this movie more than it needed me, that kind of thing.
Yeah, well, I think Christopher Nolan deserved it, and maybe it was just his time, but I thought Oppenheimer was well directed. So
it is well directed. I think that what I'm thinking is that like it's a historical drama based on a biography, and he did that as Christopher Nolan. It's not like, you know, this wild imaginative bananas.
True.
The actors
and
because
and
of the
performances
nature,
that he had to direct in Poor Things.
That's what I'm saying. The by nature of the subject material, nobody is really doing a lot of big. I mean, Emily Blunt's performance is the most actiest of all the actors, and she is always great.
Yeah.
But in Poor Things, that guy had to. All his characters were
just
bananas.
Yeah, with Emma Stone and Mark Ruffalo on that dance floor, he had to really be on his game.
And there's a very fine line.
Because they showed up with some big performances.
Yeah, there's a very fine line between like comic, I don't know, absurdism and just stupid.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
That's the director's job to be like, oh, okay, it's going
that
too far.
That didn't work. Yeah, do it again this way.
So, well, what can you do? Costume design, Poor Things, Oppenheimer, Napoleon, Killers of the Flower Moon, and Barbie. Poor Things won.
Definitely.
Right, obviously.
Should have won.
That's, we got that mixed up. We were judging hairstyling, makeup, and costume all at the same time, and those two categories won for the same reasons.
Yeah, I thought that the costume design in Poor Things was a little much at times.
Oh, it
was like
so
started
cool.
To get silly.
It was like my favorite part.
Yeah. And then the cinematographers got their chance to shine. Once again, Poor Things.
Another category that I have a deep respect for.
Yep. Oppenheimer, Maestro, Killers of the Flower Moon, and El Conde?
Yeah, El Conde. I saw a few clips from that, and it was impressive.
I didn't think that the Killers of the Flower Moon cinematography, it wasn't like hideous to look at, but it was
quality.
It was not remarkable to
me. No, not particularly remarkable, but still quality.
Sure. Maestro I didn't like, but that I felt like that DP did a good job.
Mm-hmm. He did, because he kept you like this one, right, Abby? So like the different like moments of his life looked different, and that was, and you could tell
subtly,
like,
so it
wasn't
too,
somehow just looking at the way it looked, you could tell we're back here or we're back there, and that was impressive.
Yeah. And it had an overall like soft look to it, soft lighting, soft features, and the way the composition of the shots was usually, the filming of the symphonies and things like that. I didn't really care for the movie overall, but I thought it looked nice. It was a good looking movie.
It was creative. It was definitely creative. There's a lot to admire in the way they made Maestro.
this is a weird one because Poor Things is up against Oppenheimer, which I didn't like, and I did like Poor Things, but I think Oppenheimer probably deserved to win cinematography over Poor Things.
What did win? It was Oppenheimer.
It did win. Yeah.
I was okay with that. I agreed.
Mm-hmm. It looked good.
It was exceptional. And considering especially the unique credit deserved of all of those surreal, ethereal things being entirely practical.
Oh, really?
Yeah. All of like the noise stuff. To apply the microscopic world and mm-hmm. the quick moving color scenes was all filmed on, you know, on a tiny
scale. Does his whole like I'm an art house director making giant blockbuster movies, and it always fuses together really good. Well,
and then that scene after the bomb drops and he's, you know, addressing the crowd, that was really well shot.
It was, that was cool.
Mm-hmm.
The Boy and the Heron won animated feature film over the Disney movie and the Netflix movie Elemental, Nimona.
God, Elemental.
And Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse.
Yeah, it's kind of absurd that Ninja Turtles or whatever, Mutant Mayhem, didn't even get nominated.
That's what I think.
Especially if Spider-Man did.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. Because even if, okay, fine, it's Ninja Turtles, but okay, it's fine, it's Spider-Man.
What's Robot Dreams? I've never even heard of it.
And why this?
Usually have a snooty animated one that's like someone hand-drew it on paper and then they just used that for the animation.
Pixar is going to have an entry in here every year. Yeah. But that Elemental is even nominated and Mutant Mayhem is not is bizarre to me.
Yeah, it's
Elemental
silly.
Wasn't good.
I wonder if the studio didn't, Paramount didn't push like a campaign for Mutant Mayhem.
Could be. Got to play the game.
All right, actress in a supporting role. There was Emily Blunt in Oppenheimer, Danielle Brooks in The Color Purple, a bold new take on the beloved classic.
I did not see that. Anyone else?
Nope. Uh-uh. America Ferrera in Barbie, Jodie Foster in Naiad, and Divine Joy Randolph in The Holdovers. She was the winner.
Yeah, I'm okay with that. I thought she was very compelling and charming and sad in The Holdovers.
She was good, but I feel like, I don't know.
We watched Naiad, and Annette Bening was really good, and Jodie Foster was really bad. I don't know how she got a nomination. Wow. Sarah was furious watching the Oscars because she felt like Jodie Foster was... They basically cut around Jodie Foster looking off frame, asking what the next line was. She thought she didn't come to set prepared and was just stumbling over, you know, not even knowing what the script was. And I thought Jodie Foster was very mediocre. And Annette Bening did really
well. I think
well.
I would have picked Emily Blunt.
I would have too. She does a good job in that one.
I was surprised she didn't win.
Yeah, it's not a one-to-one comparison because the character in The Holdovers isn't the same kind of character that Emily Blunt plays, which gives her a little more room to show off acting chops.
Yeah.
The Divine Joy Randolph was great in The Holdovers. It was cool. That character was great.
Mm-hmm.
Well, she carried some emotional weight. You could see a sadness in her character.
She was the emotional.
And she was a funny inclusion. She made mm-hmm. the dynamic funnier.
She felt like a very real person.
Yeah, but she added almost a sense of despair to mm-hmm. it.
Yeah,
you know, like these poor white boys who, in their high academic lives, think they have it hard, and then she walks into the room and they go, "Oh, right." Mm-hmm. Real sorrow. Here's real sorrow. Here's real life.
But Emily Blunt's performance in Oppenheimer, I thought, aside from the obvious lead role, was the best acting in the movie. She does this a lot in a lot of her roles, but she does like kind of a controlled despair in her.
Yeah, like there's a lot more right under the surface.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like she's falling apart, but she's holding it together.
Right, and there was like a rage as well. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She was really mad.
She did it really good. Mm-hmm. She can act. Good
she's
for
great.
Her.
She's going
yeah,
places.
I thought she would have won.
She's got a bright future ahead of her, this new actress.
Emily Blunt.
Remember when she was in Looper?
Remember when she was in Devil Wears Prada?
Yeah. She was good.
Quiet Place. She'd be having that baby. Actress in a leading role. Annette Bening in Naiad for Tyler and Sarah. Lily Gladstone in Killers of the Flower Moon. Sandra Hüller in Anatomy of a Fall. Carey Mulligan in Maestro. and Emma Stone in Poor Things.
Who did you know that the Annette Hewler from Anatomy of the Fall was also in Zone of Interest?
Yeah,
I didn't care about her performance in either movie.
No, what is she doing there? What is Anatomy of Fall doing here?
That's a great guy.
They
are there, though.
No, they're she was there. Good in both movies. She was good in Anatomy of a Fall. But
Emma Stone is the clear pick for this one, right?
Oh, she is far and away the winner in that category.
I would have been so mad, specifically if Lily Gladstone would have won.
Lily Gladstone.
She
did
was
not
basically
act.
Asleep in the whole movie.
She's being drugged. She was sweaty.
I mean, I get it. She played the part good, but she was asleep.
I think Annette Bening did really well. She had some really intense scenes that she pulled off, but Emma Stone was just in another category. She was just way out there in the best way. She carried that movie, in my opinion.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
Wouldn't have been as
and
good.
And the range, like how she started. And how seamlessly
it was
amazing.
She did really, really well.
And that joint was gross, y'all. She was just out here just grinding on these other actors and then just going home, having dinner. That was a raunchy movie.
Eyebrows and that long hair.
Yep.
That was gross. Yeah,
she did well.
She deserved to win. I thought for sure Lily Gladstone would win and we'd be laughing about it on here because she was barely acting in the movie at all. Just kind of laying there. People who, when you complain about Lily Gladstone's performance, people come to her defense and they actually come to the character's defense. They're like, she was drugged. I'm like, I'm not talking about the fictional character. I'm talking about the actress in the movie. All right. Actor in a supporting role. Sterling K. Brown in American Fiction. Robert De Niro in Killers of the Flower Moon. RDJ in Oppenheimer. Ryan Gosling in Barbie. And Mark Ruffalo in Poor Things.
I don't know why Ryan Gosling was there.
Oh, come on. He was good.
Barbie is far better than Anatomy of a Fall, but I still don't understand why it was in the...
Because the Academy
nominated.
Is trying to increase ratings by actually interacting with District movies that people went and saw.
Right, okay.
I thought his performance in Barbie was good. He had to do a lot of different kind of stuff in it.
Yeah. I mean, it was interesting.
He had to sing and dance.
All of these people were good.
He had to work out for it.
All of them. No. I really liked
it. He got fillers and Botox.
No.
You didn't like Robert De Niro?
No. Sterling K. Brown was stupid.
No.
He wasn't in it enough to even judge.
He was so good.
No.
It was kind of pointless.
And he was just kind of himself.
Exactly. He does that same character in every movie he has ever been in.
Okay.
He was that guy in Waves. He was that guy in The Predator. He was that guy.
He's just Brad Pitt.
Yes, exactly. He's Brad Pitt. I'm just assuming that's just what he's really like.
You could
he's
say the same thing about Robert Downey Jr.
But people love to see Robert Downey Jr.
Black Pitt? No, that doesn't work either.
Keep trying.
Brad Pitt.
Yeah, Black Brad.
That is not a
terrible comparison. He's just being himself. He's Brad Pitt.
It was worthless.
He's likable. I like Sterling K. Brown a lot. But I don't know what
he was the same guy in Biosphere.
I don't know what was meant to be unique about that role that deserved a nomination.
Mm-hmm. Probably because he was gay.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Gotta make history. But he's not. He's playing. And that's
I'm not sure Robert Downey deserved it. And then he got up as Iron Man to accept it.
Oh, come on. That was funny. He did. He acted. Yeah,
he's a good actor.
I like him, so I don't mind that he won.
Definitely his time.
I think Mark Ruffalo, and speaking of other Avengers, I think Mark Ruffalo deserved it more.
He probably did.
No, I disagree. I think
his acting, though, was pretty great.
It was pretty great.
It's funny, but it's kind of a one-note joke.
It was.
It is, yeah, but it kept going.
I think I honestly would
And Robert Downey Jr.'s character wasn't one-note in Oppenheimer?
Well, he's not a joke,
And he wasn't just the person he is in every movie.
Look, I like the films I like, and I didn't like
Oppenheimer. I'm not sure Robert Downey deserved it. I think it should have gone to Ruffalo.
Actor in a leading role. Bradley Cooper was nominated for Maestro.
Do you think he's so sad to not have gotten anything?
Yeah, and they put him right in the front row, so we had to look at his face.
Watch him lose.
He already won for...
What did he win for?
For Stars Born?
He won
what did he
something?
Win?
I don't
Which
know.
Category did he
was
win?
It, did he win for A-Team? That was good.
A Star is Born was much better than Maestro. Bradley Cooper in Maestro. Coleman Domingo in Rustin. Paul Giamatti in The Holdovers, Killian Murphy in Oppenheimer, and Jeffrey Wright in American Fiction. Obviously, we knew who was going to win.
Killian.
There was just some suspicion that Paul Giamatti could have been the upset.
The underdog. Jeffrey Wright was good. I like him generally as an actor. He's just never had the right parts to really be appreciated. But yeah, he's always been pretty good.
He's fun to watch. He's good. But obviously, it was going to be that guy.
And Paul Giamatti does deserve some credit. He did well in The Holdovers.
He
just unfortunately had to act along the side of those terrible kid actors.
I thought that the main one was good.
No, he wasn't.
Oh, stop. Come on.
You're right, just jealous because you weren't a good kid
and
actor.
Here's the big one. Unlike... Man,
Patrick got... He really cut me with that one.
Patrick is not a cinephile. We're taking his crown from him.
Okay.
Oh, dang.
But Tyler... Burrs and myself saw all the Best Picture nominations.
Wow. And this is usually your thing, Patrick. Where were you?
I'm very apathetic to award shows.
What? You're usually in this with me.
I like to watch the movies, yeah, but I don't care about the thing.
Yeah, but you didn't see all the Best Picture nominations.
I tried. Zone Adventures came to the movies for like one showing.
We all saw it?
I couldn't go that one showing.
Man, do you even go to the theaters anymore?
I go every weekend. I try to get you to go with me.
Man, I saw Zone of Interest in theaters.
He was seeing Madam Web.
I know.
Same
if
night.
You would have come with me to Madam
Dang,
Web.
That was not nominated, man.
Best Picture, American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie, The Holdovers, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, Poor Things, and The Zone of Interest.
What is Anatomy of a Fall doing here?
I feel like I saw the good ones in that list.
Nominated for Best Picture. That is funny though. Even though I didn't hate it as much as Tyler did, I think it's hilarious. It's just like it could have been any movie right there.
And what's funny about it to me is it doesn't tick any of the boxes. It doesn't tick like any of the woke boxes.
How did it get there?
Yeah, because usually if the movie's mediocre or even bad, but it's all over this, you're like, because it has some ideological thing. It's like, what's that there for? Yeah. What's it for?
The dog.
The dog. The dog did get a lot of airtime at the ceremony.
It did. It was weird. But I liked it.
Most of these were never going to... Barbie was never going to win. Anatomy of Fall is never going to win. You know, I guess maybe someone thought maybe Killers of the Flower Moon would do something.
It
Past
didn't get
Lives
anything.
Was terrible.
Yeah, Past American Lives is the worst thing on
American
there.
Fiction got best writing. Good for them. Anatomy of Fall got best writing. Surprising. What the heck? Barbie got... it got a song. Holdovers got... Supporting actress. Killers of the Flower Moon got nothing. Nothing.
Nothing.
Maestro, zero. Nothing. Past Lives, nothing. Poor Things, hair, makeup, costume, best actress, Zone of Interest. That was international. So Maestro and Killers of the Flower Moon walked out with nothing.
Good.
It's an honor to be nominated.
No, not when you walk away.
And Past Lives.
That embarrassed.
Nothing.
Oh, yeah, Past Lives, nothing.
Good.
Past Lives is freaking junk. Sucked.
But again, this is going to be, I feel like, controversial in this room. I thought Oppenheimer winning was okay with me. I was good with that.
I have a little Oppenheimer fatigue, but.
Yeah, it was in your top 10 of the year. Bro.
I mean, I have Oppenheimer award fatigue.
Yeah, I mean, it was.
It's cleaning up, man.
It's cleaned up. Honestly, for me personally, none of the movies in Best Picture were awesome. To me, I saw all of them. I didn't think any
other than
of them
Oppenheimer,
were awesome.
What would you have given it to?
I like Poor Things the best.
Poor Things,
I liked more. I liked, like I said, I didn't hate Barbie.
You
liked that
The Holdovers,
more. And I liked The Holdovers, but none of those were in my top 10.
I think we need to be forced. We need to be forced to choose one. What would have been your best picture?
I guess I would give it to Poor Things.
Patrick.
I give it to Poor Things.
Abby.
Poor Things.
Wow. Look at that. Poor Things won.
Oh, we just gave
it. I would have given it to Oppenheimer, but it doesn't matter. Poor Things won. Congratulations, Poor Things.
They really did it, man.
The You Hate Movies 2023 Oscar winner.
But then Poor Things comes up on the stage. They start to give their speeches, and then Tyler shows up in the background shuffling around.
No. The envelope's wrong.
Yeah, the envelope's wrong, and they go, oh, sorry.
By the way, we lost.
We lost, by the way.
It's Anatomy of a Fall. It's Anatomy of a Fall won. Why are you here?
At patreon.com/youhatemovies, there are still multiple episodes of You Hate Movies delivered monthly, arguing about the latest movies, ranking directors and franchises, interacting with fan mail, and getting bent out of shape about the latest in movie news. For the price of a monthly cup of coffee, you can listen in and join the arguing. patreon.com/youhatemovies.